Dan Redler and Temple Street production. In association with Showtime Networks Incorporated and Hallmark Entertainment, with narrative description by Audio Vision Canada. Louis Gossett Jr. in his father's shoes.
Look at all this stuff. This place is the bomb.
The bomb.
Frank Crosby and his teenage son Clay walk through a busy downtown marketplace.
Reminds me of the 60s.
Yeah, I know. You a flower child. Hippie, free love.
When Frank points to a silver bracelet in a street vendor's display, she puts it in a box for him.
All that crazy stuff you guys did in school.
Thank you.
You think we're strange.
Frank pays the woman.
Thank you.
Hey.
He holds up the bracelet.
Think your mom would like that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I agree. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Frank peers down the street.
What's going on down there?
Mm.
Let's go see.
They walk off.
Hey, Dad. Can I ask you something?
Well, no, that all depends. It's not going to be about women and free love. I ain't going for it, Jerry.
Nah, not about that.
What?
It's about Grandpa. How come you didn't take his call the other day?
Well, see, me and my father, you know, we never really that close. We never didn't talk that much.
But
it's the way it is. It's the way it's always been.
But he's your dad. Can't you just, you know, kiss and make up?
No, I don't think so. You go back to him when you ask. You know, hard to explain. It's kind of like, you gotta walk in another man's shoes. You know, to understand how he feels.
People have gathered around a monkey dressed in a tiny coat.
Here's a coin. Give it to the monkey.
When a baby girl hands the monkey a coin, the creature rewards her with a kiss on the cheek.
Aww.
As Frank pulls out some banknotes, the monkey snatches a few from his hand and scurries off toward a house.
Wait a minute. Hey, get back here!
Oh, no, forget it.
No way! That's a lot of money!
Clay sprints after the monkey.
Clay!
Inside, Clay enters a dimly lit room crowded with a jumble of curios and old furniture. As Clay steps forward cautiously, Frank enters the room through a beaded curtain and leans against the doorframe, coughing.
This is tight. It looks like some kind of weird museum.
Frank notices a rack full of postcards and steps toward it.
Hey, you like these? These old postcards? You know, they carry dreams.
Who let you in?
Can I help you?
A woman wearing a long dress and a silk headscarf steps toward them suspiciously.
We were just wondering if these postcards were for sale.
No, nothing's for sale. This is my private collection. Gifts I received in my travels to far-off places. No, I don't do fortunes.
She pushes past them.
This is whack.
Yeah, we're in the wrong place. Come on.
Oh, no. You're in the right place. Follow me. Over here. I have the exact thing for you.
Frank and Clay look at each other, then follow the woman. She lowers down a wicker basket from the ceiling. From it, she removes a large box.
Try these on for size.
She hands the box to Frank, who opens it.
They'll make you feel like a new man.
It's a pair of two-tone wingtip shoes.
No, thank you. I don't really need another pair of shoes.
These aren't just another pair of shoes. Take them.
I can't do that.
Consider them a gift in exchange for the kindness you showed Laszlo.
Who's Laszlo?
The monkey leaps onto the woman's shoulder.
You know these people, don't you?
Frank and Clay smile. Soon after, father and son drive home in their Land Rover. They pull into the driveway beside a large house. As Clay strides up to the front door, his father follows slowly with the box, pausing to catch his breath. Frank steps inside. He crosses the living room and shuts off the music. He enters the kitchen where Clay watches his mother Janice and sister Maggie baking cookies.
Look what we're doing.
Ooh, that sure smells good.
Clay reaches out.
Don't touch them. They're for my bake sale.
Clay grabs a couple and runs off with his sister in pursuit.
Slow down, guys. Slow down. We just harness that engine. Put the power company out of business, huh?
Frank kisses Janice.
You look tired.
Yeah.
Wore yourself out, didn't you?
Nothing but a few vitamins and a herbal drink wouldn't fix, plus a few of these.
She slaps his hand away.
Bake sale.
Oh.
What's this?
She opens the shoebox.
New shoes?
Me and your son, you know, we went treasure hunting and got something very special.
He pulls out the box that contains the silver bracelet.
A very special person.
Janice opens the box.
Oh, Frank. That's beautiful.
He removes his cap, exposing his bald head.
A very beautiful lady.
So they kiss.
Hey, Dad, I'm off from Peter's house. He's gonna help me with my math.
Hey, wait a minute. Peter got a 65 on his last math test.
He did, and I got a 44. See ya.
Got it.
Off to another meeting of the mathematically challenged.
He wants to stay home with you tomorrow.
I know.
Frank tosses his coat aside.
Honey, I'm a little worried about Clay. He's really taking this hard. He should be out making new friends, playing ball, getting into trouble the way you used to at his age. Maybe not that much, but some.
I'll talk to him. Wait. When did I get into trouble?
While we're on the subject of talking, what about your parents? Are you ever going to make peace with them?
Frank gazes at her vacantly. Turning away from her, he stares out the window. Frank watches some pigeons feeding outside. Later, in Maggie's bedroom...
Time for bed.
Frank takes a book from her hands and playfully tugs off her glasses. He tucks her in.
There you go.
Daddy?
Yeah?
Can you sing me my special lullaby?
Okay. Good night, close your eyes and dream away. Tomorrow is a brand new world, it is a brand new day. And somewhere down the road, someday you may recall this lullaby I sing to you tonight. And I be with you every time you do. Good night. Hope your dreams will all come true. So many years ahead, you can look forward to. And somewhere down the road, some quiet place and time, this little lullaby may cross your mind. And I'll be with you like I am tonight. Good night.
Frank smiles and hugs the little girl.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Daddy.
He turns the light off and looks down at her tenderly.
I love you, Daddy.
He lingers at the door for a moment, then leaves the room. Maggie pulls a small tape recorder from beneath her blankets and shuts it off. Smiling contentedly, she sets the machine aside. Late that night, Frank sips a cup of Janice's herbal mixture in his study. He regards an old photo of his stern-looking father wearing an army sergeant's uniform.
It's about Grandpa. How come you wouldn't take his call the other day?
Frank picks up a phone. He hesitates, then hangs up. His father seems to glare at him from the photo. Next day, after class, Clay and Peter walk down the school's front steps together.
Let's go to the mall.
I better not. My dad stayed home from work today.
Is he okay?
Oh, sure, he's right. It's just that, you know, he just needs a little extra rest.
Yeah. Cool. Well, call you tomorrow, man.
Peace out, man.
Yep.
Clay arrives home.
Hey, Dad, I'm home.
He heads to the kitchen. There's nobody there.
Dad?
In growing concern, Clay rushes up the stairs.
Dad! Dad!
He opens his parents' bedroom door and looks in.
Dad?
Frank lies in a hospital bed, breathing weakly with his eyes closed. Sitting at his bedside, Janice holds his hands in hers and watches his face intently. Clay stands nearby, staring out a window. Janice goes to his side.
Clay, honey, I'm gonna get us some dinner, all right?
Clay doesn't react, so she leaves the room. Frank struggles to open his eyes.
Clay.
Clay smiles at his father.
Hi. Mom will be right back. Maggie and Aunt Celeste will be here soon. How are you feeling?
Like I'm knocking on heaven's door.
You can lick this thing, Dad. I just know it.
You know, it's just something like I gotta tell you that I never told anybody before.
It's okay. Save your strength.
When I was a little boy, my mother used to have this postcard collection. My favorite was this painting of this golf course. This is a huge country club. It was beautiful. I wanted to go there.
Dad, you should rest. Mom will be back any minute.
I was dreaming. You know, that golf course. It was heaven. And you know what? It wouldn't let me in.
Dad, don't.
Clay, you gotta promise me something.
Sure, anything.
Me and my father, we weren't very close. Gotta tell your grandmama and your grandpapa that I always loved them. That postcard for me. It'll help you understand our family. Promise.
I promise.
Clay lays his head on his father's chest.
So proud of you.
Frank kisses Clay's head weakly. Frank draws a final breath and dies. Clay clutches his father's arm and closes his eyes in grief. Later, Clay leans against a wall in the hallway outside his father's room. He sobs gently as bitter tears course down his cheeks. Janice leaves the room with her arm around little Maggie. She comforts Clay with a touch, and he hugs her tearfully. Clinging to each other, the three walk slowly down the hallway. Sometime later, Maggie sets the table for dinner as Janice folds some of Frank's clothes in the family room. Clay enters the kitchen nearby.
What are you doing with that stuff?
Just folding, getting things organized.
You're giving it away, aren't you?
No, honey. These are all going right back where they belong.
You're not the only one who misses him.
Then why are you playing this music he hated? You think just because he's gone, you can do anything you like? Maybe that's why you didn't fight hard enough to get him off those stupid herbs and vitamins instead of taking real medicine and doing the job
of... your information, in many countries, that stupid stuff is real medicine. Don't forget, that kept him alive for more than 6 years.
He knocks her hand away.
How do you know chemo wouldn't have worked and kept him alive forever? That's a great answer.
He grabs his father's clothes.
I'll handle these. Shucks!
He storms out of the room past Maggie.
I hate this
play.
Janice crosses the dining room toward Maggie and puts three plates on the table.
Mom, I need one more.
Maggie, there are only three of us.
What if Daddy's spirit is hungry and comes back?
Janice puts out another plate.
Good thinking.
Upstairs, Clay huddles miserably on the floor of his parents' closet. Janice enters the bedroom and listens at the closet door.
Clay, honey, dinner's ready. I think you should eat something.
I'm not hungry.
I know you're angry that your dad left you. While you're in there, just take some time to think about what he left you. It'll make you feel better.
As she turns away to leave the room, Clay sees his dad's shoebox through a veil of tears. He wipes his face and looks at the box.
Sometimes you have to walk in another man's shoes to understand him.
Clay opens the box. He pulls the two-tone wingtips out of the box, then takes off his shoes. Clay puts on one of the wingtips and ties the laces. He does the same with the other wingtip. When the second lace is tied, he stands. And a strange light glows around the shoes.
What's going on?
Clay is transported. Food slops on the floor in front of him. Looking up, Clay realizes he's in a high school cafeteria line, where a grumpy attendant is loading a sloppy Joe onto his plate.
There you go. Food's next. Come on.
The girl in line ahead looks at him quizzically as he gawks at his new surroundings. All the kids are wearing clothes from the early 60s. Clay arrives at the cash register. Clay digs into his pocket and hands over the money. Clay carries his tray into the crowded seating area. As he walks, he stares at his unfamiliar surroundings. Clay spots a banner advertising the Starlight Dance 1962. He drops his tray. All the kids stare at him. A pudgy white boy and a short black boy hurry over.
Where am I?
Why are you just standing there like a jerk?
Come on, Frank. Hurry up and clean this mess before we get a detention.
Frank? My name's Clay. Frank is my father.
Sorry, I thought your old man's name was Richard.
Who are you?
Hello, we're your friends, Telegram and Bruce.
Did you get beaten by the tetherball or something?
When the cafeteria lady arrives, the boys hurry off. Shaking her head, the woman cleans up the mess.
Home for my role.
Some older boys hang out in a washroom. Clay and his friends enter.
So embarrassing.
Then the cafeteria Jeez. Lady got all mad at you.
Let's split. It's really getting kind of dark in here, don't you think?
Yeah. Maybe the Oreo triplets want to be left alone.
Move it, bozos.
The older boys shove the newcomers aside on their way out.
What a bunch of peckerwoods. What's their problem?
Us, man. You know that.
Bruce, the black kid, and Telegram, the white kid, step toward the urinal.
Bruce, got a date for the dance yet?
Nah, I think I'll go alone. You know, play the field, check out the action when I get there. You?
No, not yet. Got any ideas?
Clay looks in the bathroom mirror.
Huh? Hey, Frank, how about you? You taking Mary Lou? Right.
He watches as his reflection slowly changes into his father's, then back to his own. He throws up.
You okay, Frank?
Several students file into a classroom. Clay pauses at the door and looks around the room.
Hey, Frank.
Clay wanders into the classroom. As he sits at a desk in the center of the room, a girl enters, stares in Clay's direction, and crosses the classroom toward him.
Did you hear that, like, at a party last week? Frank has some girl and she slapped him in the face.
Bruce flinches as the girl approaches Clay.
You're in my seat, dork.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Clay moves to the next desk.
Class? Class? Settle down, please. Settle down, class. Thank you. Today is Current Events Day. I hope you've all been reading your newspapers. Oh, I cannot understand this lack of interest in current affairs. You think if it's happening today, it's not history? Frank, why don't you begin?
Clay doesn't react.
Psst. That's you, May. Get up there.
Come along, Frank.
Clay steps toward the front of the class.
Go on.
He picks a slip of paper out of a jar in the teacher's hand.
Announce your topic, Frank.
President Kennedy and Cuba.
Go on.
I guess it all started with the Bay of Pigs invasion when CIA tried to kill Castro. Castro threatened to get even. Lee Harvey Oswald was a Castro supporter. He visited the Cuban embassy in Mexico City 2 months before he started working at the Texas School Book Depository in Dallas. From a window there, he shot Kennedy.
Frank Crosby, I have spoken to you before about your behavior in class, but this time you have gone entirely too far. I expect a 5-minute oral report from you tomorrow on his programs and policies.
Busted.
Clay returns to his seat. After school, Clay gets a ride home with Telegram and an older boy in a bright red Chevy.
Looking for romance, saw Barbara Ann, so I thought I'd take a chance.
Clay rides in the back seat, gazing at the 1960s town as the car drives along the main street. The driver turns down a residential street. When the car stops, Clay gets out.
Hey there, Frank.
Yeah, thanks for the ride.
Hey, don't thank me. Thank my brother and his beautiful car.
Yeah.
Let's hit the highway.
They drive off and leave Clay in the middle of the road. Clay looks around and takes a step. A car almost hits him. When it passes, he crosses the street.
Frank! Frank!
He climbs some steps to the front porch of the unfamiliar house. Clay hesitates, smooths his hair, and knocks at the door.
It's open, for goodness sake!
Clay enters and stares down a narrow hallway to a kitchen where a woman is busy ironing.
Go change into your plate clothes and come and help me move these baskets by the front door so the ladies can pick up their ironing.
Clay steps toward her.
Hello, Grandma.
Grandma.
Mom, I meant Mom.
True, though, the older I get, the more I look like my mother, don't I, Frank, huh?
Frank?
You're awfully quiet. Did something happen today?
Nothing special. Just the usual stuff. It's just... Hey, Grandma. Mom, is that a new postcard?
It sure is. It's from...
Can I see it?
Now, since when have you been so interested in my postcards?
Is that boy back from school yet?
Look, upstairs and change your clothes before you help your father. Meanwhile, I'll make you a malted with an egg in it. Go on now.
Clay heads for the stairs.
Scoot!
Clay opens the door to Frank's room and enters cautiously.
Cool. Dad, your room is so unreal.
Books crowd a fireplace mantelpiece.
Dad, you had a lot of stuff.
A pair of jeans and some sneakers are laid out on his bed.
You collected a lot of junk.
A large model airplane hangs from the ceiling.
Look at this old thing.
He spins one of the plane's propellers.
Baseball cards.
Clay sorts through a stack of cards.
Mickey Mantle. Wow.
Frank, get down here now.
Clay hurriedly puts down the cards. He sits on the bed and unties his shoelaces. When he puts his feet on the floor, a bright light flares around them. Clay is transported back to the present.
Hey, whoa!
He takes off the wingtips.
I must be dreaming. That can't be real. I know it wasn't. I'm dreaming.
Clay leaves the closet, stares at himself in a mirror, and touches his face. He rushes downstairs to the dining room.
Well, that was quick.
Well, what was quick?
You're changing your mind. Only a minute ago you said you weren't hungry.
Mom, I'm out of the shower.
Janice passes Clay a salad bowl.
Can you do this?
Someone call me for dinner?
Oh, Maggie said it's for Daddy.
I need a towel.
Here I come.
Later, Janice tucks Maggie into bed.
You know him?
Maggie hands her glasses to Janice.
Right.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
I don't know. What would you be?
I asked you first.
Okay. I would be a lion, queen of the jungle. That way nothing could hurt me.
I'd be a bird, so I could fly to heaven and visit Daddy.
Janice gazes sadly at Maggie.
Got school in the morning.
When her mother leaves the room, Maggie pulls her little tape recorder from under her bed covers.
Lullaby, I sing to you tonight. I, every time.
Janice listens at the door outside Maggie's room. Later that night, Clay reclines on his bed, studying. He looks at a framed photo of his father.
Come on, Dad. Where's that postcard?
Setting his book aside, he reaches for the wingtips beside his bed and puts them on.
Okay, shoes, here we go.
Nothing happens. Clay looks around, confused.
Oh, yeah, laces.
As he tightens his shoelaces, a flash of light appears and Clay hurtles through time. He reappears in his father's bedroom beside a crystal radio set.
Okay, postcard. Look for it. Man. All right, concentrate. Where could it be?
He searches the room. He takes a few of the baseball cards and slips them into his pants pocket. Clay looks under the bed. Someone enters the room.
Uh-oh. Busted.
Looking up, Clay sees Celeste, Frank's pretty sister.
What are you doing down there? I've got such a spaz for a little brother, I can't believe it.
It's time for your dance lesson so you won't be totally pathetic at the Starlight Ball tonight.
She starts his record player.
I
can dance. See?
Clay does some hip-hop moves.
Break it down! Break it down! Break it down! Very popular.
With who, retards?
Celeste starts the record player.
Okay. Now, stay over there. And just move to the music. Just pretend you're in the Peppermint Lounge.
Okay. Yeah!
When Celeste starts dancing the twist, Clay does his best to keep up.
Come on, baby, baby! Let's do the twisters! Yeah! Come on, baby! Let's do the twisters! Take it by my little hand!
When Celeste extends her hand, Clay takes it.
Like this! Yeah! Twist! Now keep them together! Like twist!
Clay falls down.
Turn that loud music off and do your homework.
They keep on dancing.
Twist. Twist. You should see my big sis. She really knows how to rhyme and knows how to twist.
Later at dinner.
Frank, what's her name?
None of your business.
What's her name? Is she in the class?
Maybe.
Maybe. Is she pretty?
Don't ask me so many questions.
Frank's father, Richard, enters the room wearing a pair of wingtips just like the magic shoes. He stands sternly at the head of the table.
This is to your father.
Richard sits down and puts aside his pipe.
Just once, I kind of like to have meat on Friday instead of casserole.
I made apple brown Betty for dessert. Dinah Shore's recipe. I found it in that Life magazine. The one with the picture of the troops at the University of Mississippi. James Meredith Shore opened a can of worms.
James Meredith?
Yeah, that's that colored boy I like to hang out with white folks. Like you.
Colored boy?
Yeah, echo in here.
Yeah, well, all this talk about integration, young folks are running around, splitting the world wide open.
People are changing. Negroes are citizens and just want the same freedom and equality as whites.
Negroes?
Zip it. Both of you.
Daddy, can I borrow the car? I have to get Frank to the dance and then I have play rehearsal.
The tank is empty, so you and your brother are going to have to pay for it, huh?
All right.
Don't you change that radio station.
I won't. Let's go.
Yeah.
The two kids hurry away from the table.
Now, you're surely not going on them dirty old sneakers. Take them off and go put on your jammies.
Oh, Ma, there's no time. We're already late.
Go.
We'll see ya.
Soon after, as they arrive at the high school, Celeste points to girls passing by.
Is that her?
No!
Is that her?
Leave me alone!
Show me!
Leave me alone!
Hey, Frank, your tie!
Clay grabs it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have fun.
Inside, a spinning mirrored ball reflects tiny winking stars of light around the darkened gym. Beneath it, couples dance the stroll between two lines, one male, the other female. As Telegram and Bruce goof around nearby, the DJ prepares to put on another tune. Clay enters the gym and looks around. Across the room, he sees a pretty girl laughing with her friends. Telegram spots him and waves. Clay circles around the dance floor toward the girls. Pretty girl sees Clay lurking nearby.
Frank, you want to dance?
Clay smiles at her, then frowns.
What's going on?
Clay's feet start moving by themselves.
Okay.
The girl stares at Clay's clumsy steps.
What's going on? Someone playing with me? Very embarrassing. Pardon? Excuse me.
Clay stumbles awkwardly between the dancers.
Excuse me. Come through.
Excuse me.
What a doofus.
Ted, stop playing with me!
Clay's left foot drags him across the gym, bumping into dancers as he goes.
No! Don't mind me! It's just my new dance!
Clay falls down.
Right. What is he doing?
Clay looks up toward the mirror ball.
Ted?
His father's face nods at him from the ball, then vanishes. The pretty girl looks down at him.
Cute.
Clay gets up and hurries over to his friends.
Hey, where you been, man?
Dancing with Mary Lou Hiscox.
Yeah, right. And I've been kissing Lisa Calminari.
You and Mary Lou? No way.
Yeah, so when you know how to dance.
I've been getting lessons from Celeste.
Oh, look.
The dancers clear the floor as Lisa, the girl who kicked Clay out of her seat, and Dennis, the bully who shoved him aside in the bathroom, begin a provocative, well-practiced dance. Scandalized female teacher gawks at the couple from beside the punch bowl as Dennis picks up Lisa and lowers her gently toward him. Then dips her.
I need a cold drink.
I need a cold shower. Oh my God.
As a male teacher smirks nearby, the distracted female teacher pours punch on Clay's hand. Unnoticed, the three friends help themselves and step away to watch the performance. Lisa and Dennis approach the punch bowl and see Clay and his friends standing nearby.
Well, if it isn't the Three Stooges.
They ignore Dennis.
Uh-oh. No. Oh, no, Dad. Not now. You're gonna get me killed.
Telegram and Bruce are perplexed.
Are you talking to me?
I like the Three Stooges.
You like Three Stooges? This is what I like.
Dennis throws his punch cup at Clay.
Oh, Dad.
Against his will, Clay pokes at Dennis's eyes. Furious, Dennis throws a punch but hits Lisa. She falls onto a huge cake beside the punch bowl, then collapses on top of Dennis. As Clay, Telegram, and Bruce laugh, Dennis's pals rush over.
Are you guys okay?
Clay and his friends run off, with Dennis not far behind.
They're dead now!
Telegram, Bruce, and Clay rush outside.
Oh my God, he's gonna kill us! Freedom, guys!
Dennis and his pals search the school hallway. Frustrated, Dennis knocks his pals down. Meanwhile, Lisa tries to wipe a thick layer of icing off her face as the rest of the school looks on. Outside, Clay and the others run through the night.
Can you see them?
No, but I hear them!
Get running!
They stop at a church, exhausted.
Oh, God. You think we should go in and pray that Dennis Beck doesn't murder us? He's got to catch us first.
Oh, we'd be safer living in Alabama.
Thanks for saving my butt. Hey, thanks for sticking up for us.
That's a guts, man.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? The three of us. We're going to be friends forever, right? You know, until they feed us to the worms?
Telegram pulls out a pocket knife.
What are you doing?
Blood brothers.
Whoa, blood isn't cool, man.
Well, maybe it's just my blood that isn't cool.
Hey, man, how can you say that? It's just that blood scares me. The sight of it makes me want a Ralph.
Ralph?
I never heard that one before.
Yeah, Ralph. You know, like blow chunks. Hurl. Heave. Spew. Puke.
Oh.
Well, then you're gonna Ralph your head off when Dennis Beck gets a hold of us. There's gonna be blood everywhere.
Be sure when you Ralph, you don't just Ralph on the ground. Ralph on Beck.
He already looks like he's been Ralphed on.
A flashlight shines on them.
Don't you boys know it's late? Better get on home before I drag you down to the station.
Yeah, yes, sir, officer.
Yeah, right away. Later, man.
See you, Frank.
When Bruce and Telegram hurry off, the patrolman waves his flashlight at Clay and leaves.
I thought we were busted for sure.
Better a cop than Beck.
Yeah.
Clay pulls one of Frank's baseball cards out of his jacket pocket, puts it between his lips, and ties up his laces. With a flash of light, Clay travels forward in time. He arrives in his bedroom without the baseball card.
Darn!
He turns to his dad's portrait.
We'll find you, Dad. I promise.
He kisses his fingers and touches the photo. Next day, at school with Peter...
You have to keep this a sacred secret. You can't tell a soul, promise?
Okay, promise.
You're gonna think I'm nuts.
You are nuts.
Okay, do you think time travel's possible?
Like in that book by H.G. Wells?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, here it goes. But if you laugh, I'm gonna kick your butt. Okay? Okay, look. Before my father died, a gypsy lady who ran this totally weird shop gave him a pair of wingtip shoes. When I put them on, I go back in time, but I become my father. I mean, I look like me, I sound like me, I know stuff from now on like cigarettes are no good for you, but everyone sees him. I do things I wouldn't do, things that my father must have done. Sometimes he takes over my body and I have no control.
Peter stares at him, wide-eyed.
Next thing you'll tell me, you and Meg have E.T. hidden in your closet.
Man, I knew you wouldn't believe me.
No, it's just weird, that's all. Maybe if you could bring back something cool to prove...
I tried, but it didn't work. I stuck this mint, 1962 Roger Maris card in my mouth, and
your
then...
mouth? You would have got spit all over, dude. Okay, here's what you do next time. You look for a Mickey Mantle card. It's worth so much more. You put it in an envelope and you scotch tape it to your body, okay? This way it becomes a part of you.
That could work.
If you do that, I'll believe you. Okay, we better get back.
You go ahead. I just need a minute.
Don't be late, man. You'll get so busted.
Clay thinks for a moment. Then gets the shoes out of his backpack. He holds them in his hands.
Okay, guys. Quick little visit with Grandma to find the postcard and the mink. Then back to school.
He changes his shoes.
Let's do it!
He laces up the wingtips and vanishes in a flash of light. He arrives in 1962, just in time for pancakes.
Now, off to school you go with a nice hot breakfast.
Blueberry, it's your favorite.
Do you ever think about the future, Mom?
Like, rockets and a man on the moon?
I mean, this family, what's gonna become of everybody?
It's a pretty big question, honey. Sometimes I ask myself the same thing.
I worry about Celeste. I know she wants more out of life than I have, but like all this talk about becoming an actress is just plain silly.
Do you ever worry about me?
Oh, I wish you weren't such a cut up in class. Otherwise, I think you'll turn out just fine.
I think I want to end up selling real estate. Having a big house or something like that.
Now, Frank, don't ever let a job or money be the measure of your success. There's so much more to life.
Then how will I know if I'm doing well?
Oh, honey, I promise. When you're doing well, you'll know it. You'll see it in your family's eyes. Two strawberry jam sandwiches. Mm. Now, off to school, you go. Go on, scoot.
In class, Lisa knocks Clay's books off his desk. She looks Clay in the eye.
I got a message from Dennis. He says to tell you, he's gonna hurt you real bad. You may even die.
As Clay stares at her, open-mouthed, she smiles sweetly and gives his books a kick on the way to her desk. A teacher enters the classroom.
All right, class. Let's begin. Yesterday, we began talking about Aphrodite. What did we say was her particular function on Mount Olympus?
Stop it.
Clay's hand rises against his will.
Frank, Aphrodite was goddess of what?
Sex!
Love. Aphrodite was the goddess of love, Mr. Crosby.
Stop it.
Sex and love are not necessarily the same thing.
Lisa sneers.
Yeah, like you'd know.
We also said that it was rather ironic that Aphrodite, the most beautiful of goddesses...
Clay puts his hand over his mouth.
Why is that, Miss Calmenary?
Lisa looks up.
She had to!
Clay grabs his throat.
Mr. Crosby, is your name Miss Calmenary? I didn't think so. To continue. Zeus threw Hephaestus out of heaven, and the fall resulted in a permanent limp.
You'd limp too, Mr. Dorfman, if you were married to the goddess of sex.
The teacher looks at Clay disapprovingly. After school, Clay tries to sneak past Richard, who's working on the family car in the driveway.
Oh, he's squealing.
Hey, boy.
Hey, Dad, how was work?
Electrical business don't pick up. I'm gonna have to go back to that factory and operate that damn drill press. Give me that wrench out of that toolbox.
Clay grabs a wrench from the toolbox, but drops it under the car.
What the hell's wrong with you, boy? Can't you hold on to anything? Huh? Sister says she want a brand new car. Don't you think I am Rockefeller or somebody? Ah, this wrench is too big. Go in the garage and get me a smaller one. And make it quick, boy.
Clay hurries toward the garage. He opens the door and stares inside.
Postcard, you've got to be here.
Clay steps toward a workbench at the rear of the garage. He gazes at the neat rows of wrenches and other tools hung on a pegboard over the bench. Clay spots a cardboard box with the label Virginia.
Grandma!
Where's that wrench, boy?
Jackpot!
The box is full of old postcards. Clay looks through them.
If you know what's good for you, boy, you hurry up!
Uh-oh. Where are you, postcard?
Richard steps toward the garage.
Make it quick, boy. If you want things done around here, you got to do it yourself.
Clay stuffs a bunch of the postcards into a bag.
Get in there!
What is taking you so long, boy?
As Richard enters the garage, Clay reties his shoelaces and disappears in a flash of light. He journeys through time and arrives back at a school. He checks under his jacket for the bag, but it's not there. That night, Clay eats dinner with Janice and Maggie.
Your grandmother called today. She misses you. Says she forgets what the two of you look like. Anyway, she's invited us up for the weekend. There's a winter carnival with games and animals. Wanna go?
Clay swallows nervously.
I wanna go.
That weekend, the three drive to Grandma's. As they pull into the driveway, Richard and Virginia are waiting on the porch to greet them. Janice and Maggie get out of the Land Rover, but Clay lags behind.
I was beginning to think you had forgotten the way.
We stopped for breakfast.
As Richard steps to the back of the Land Rover to get their bags, Maggie hugs Virginia.
Hi, Grandma.
Clay emerges and looks at Richard apprehensively.
Don't stand there with your teeth in your mouth like that. Come a little closer so I can get a better look at you.
Clay hesitates.
Sometime today, boy.
He steps closer to his grandfather.
Hi, Grandpa.
Richard inspects Clay's clothing.
Come on, help me with these bags, boy.
As Richard opens the tailgate, Maggie, Janice, and Virginia step toward the house. Soon after, Clay enters his father's bedroom, which is much the same as it was in 1962.
Same old junk. Some things just never change.
He throws his knapsack on the bed and sits beside it. Opening the knapsack, he pulls out the magic wingtips.
Okay, guys, let's get it right. The postcard's in the garage next to the roller skates.
He kisses one of the shoes, then puts them on. He ties the laces, then begins his trip back in time. Clay reappears wearing a pair of roller skates.
Here's a little tune you can go.
Looking around, he sees dozens of teenagers skating around a roller rink.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have seen some sizzling skaters so far here this evening at Scooter's Rollerway, where you can leave your cares behind and let your dreams come true.
Lisa skates by in a short skirt.
Judges had a hard time making up their minds, but they have done it. In a couple of minutes, we'll have the performances of our two finalists. In the meantime, here's one more tune you can bop to.
At the garage.
As Clay stumbles awkwardly on his skates, Telegram and Bruce skate toward him.
Way to go, man. Made it to the finals. These shoes have a mind of their own.
What'd you say, Frank?
I mean, these skates. I have a mind of their own. They're not laced tight. I could twist my ankle.
I think you laced them a little too tight. They cut off circulation to your brain. Hurry up. You only have a few more minutes to warm up.
Clay untangles his legs.
These skates are pretty crappy.
Now, blades, that's the way to go.
You guys should invest in them. Better yet, invent them.
You're acting like you've never been on skates before.
How are you gonna win the competition with dorky steps like that?
What competition?
Duh. The competition that you and your sister might be able to win if you stop acting like such a spaz. Come on, let's go.
Come on.
These things are dangerous.
When Telegram and Bruce skate off, Clay follows uncertainly.
I need a rest.
Suddenly, Dennis grabs Clay from behind.
I'm gonna put you both there, Crosby. You and your stuck-up sister.
Let me go.
Dennis shoves Clay toward a couple of bystanders, and the three collapse in a heap.
Just happens.
Dad, you gotta help me. Bite me, Beck!
See, dork.
Bite me? What are you, a maniac?
It's Celeste.
Come on.
She helps him up.
We better take a rest before the finals begin.
What finals?
Frank!
Clear the floor. It is the time we have all been waiting for. The championship round. Now our first contestants are last year's champs, Lisa Colmenari and Dennis Beck.
Lisa and Dennis begin their skating routine. He takes her hand, and the two skate gracefully around the outside of the rink in a skillful series of movements and jumps. Clay and Celeste watch from the sidelines. Lisa and Dennis smirk conceitedly as they glide by. Dennis leads Lisa in a complicated spin. Glides around the rink with effortless grace.
Won't you tell me your mind?
As the two begin a spin, Lisa wraps her legs around Dennis's torso and arches backward in a daring finish.
Incredible performance, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for Lisa and Dennis.
Lisa and Dennis skate toward Clay.
Beat that, butt face.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our final contestants. And I must say, they have their work cut out for them. Let's give a big moonlight welcome to Celeste and Frank Crosby!
As Clay and Celeste begin their energetic routine, Lisa looks worriedly at Dennis. Bruce and Telegram root enthusiastically from the sidelines. Celeste and Clay execute a series of complicated moves in time with the music. Celeste skates backward gracefully on one leg as she holds Clay's hand.
A pretty little miss wherever you go.
With Clay skating backward, the two wave their arms in a series of sweeping wing-like gestures. Celeste and Clay crouch down on one leg and whiz around the rink. Lisa and Dennis watch anxiously as the routine continues. Clay and Celeste grab each other's hands and spin in a circle. When Clay throws himself on the floor, Celeste skates over him. And the performance ends.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear your appreciation for Celeste and Frank!
Clay and Celeste skate over to Bruce and Telegram.
You got it in the pocket! Wrapped in zaps!
That was fun.
All right, all you cool cats and kittens out there, let's see who your favorites are. First, let's hear it for Lisa and Dennis. All right, now let's hear it for Celeste and Frank Crosby. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment we've all been waiting for. It looks like the judges have made their decision. I must say they agreed with you. This contest was no contest. The $100 prize goes to Celeste and Frank Crosby.
Lisa and Dennis glare angrily. Celeste gives Clay a hug. Soon after, Celeste and Clay take off their skates in a back room.
You ever have the feeling you really don't belong here?
Oh, well, yeah. Recently, I started feeling that way a lot.
Me too. There's nothing I can do about it. Dad is dead set against my acting career. He won't even let Mom come to my school play. Maybe he's right.
No way. Gonna be a great actress someday. Rich, too.
Not if I don't follow my dream.
Hey, Celeste.
He offers her some money.
Then follow it. Here. Take my half.
She takes the cash.
And when you're super famous with tons of money, don't forget your little brother and his kids.
She smiles gratefully and kisses his cheek.
I should go change.
She walks away. When she's out of sight, Clay hastily reties his shoes. He disappears in a flash and returns to the present in his father's bedroom. Smiling, he takes off the wingtips, then kisses them.
Oh man, these are so cool.
Clay puts on his regular shoes. He looks out a window as Richard drives away.
He's out. Postcard, here I come.
Clay hurries downstairs.
Clay, what's the rush?
Oh, hi, Grandma. Where did Grandpa go?
Grandpa went to fill up the car. He'll be back soon. Come here. Come, let me make you a cup of hot cocoa. It's instant, like everything else these days.
Grandma, can you make me a malty with an egg in it?
Oh, my goodness. I put that old machine away years ago. You know, your father loved malteds, too.
Yeah, I know. I kind of learned a lot about his childhood.
Grandma, why was Grandpa so strict with Dad and Aunt Celeste?
He only was doing the right thing, you know, by not showing too much emotion. Preparing his children for a life of limited hopes and opportunities. But your father and Aunt Celeste, they had hope.
Did you have hope, Grandma?
At first, we both did. In truth, we never lived the life your grandfather dreamed of. But he always tried to provide the things we needed. I mean, even if we didn't always have some of the things we wanted. We were never poor. We were never rich, but we were never poor. And I always loved... Goodness. I hope my tongue has worn out its welcome with all this wagging. This is so nice. It's just like... When your father used to sit right where you are, we'd have long talks.
About what?
I remember once, he was about your age. And he... Oh, yeah, that was just before Celeste ran off. He asked me how he'd know he was doing well as a grown-up. And I told him he could tell by the look in his family's eye. And when I look into your eye, I can tell... He did very well indeed. He did
most excellent.
Most excellent.
Later that day, the whole family arrives at the carnival.
This is going to be great.
Look at that clown.
Look at his hair. Do you want hair like that? That red hair?
Oh. What? Where are you going?
Walk straight. We're sorry.
Hey, Maggie, wait for Maggie!
Mom! Mom! I want to play the games.
Oh, my, you as frisky as a litter of pups. Here you go, my dear.
Virginia gives Maggie some tickets, and she runs off.
Where'd you go?
Clay follows his sister.
Mm-hmm. And stay together!
Hey, Maggie, wait for me!
Hey, little girl, would you like a balloon?
Maggie runs up to the booth and hands the woman a ticket.
Maggie, here you go.
As Clay arrives, Maggie throws the ball and knocks down one of the cat targets.
Got him!
Well done, you know this before, eh? There you go.
Maggie throws again.
Yeah, got it!
Great shot, Maggie!
There you got your last one.
Maggie throws her last ball.
Yes!
Oh, yeah, right! Yeah!
When the woman hands Maggie a goldfish in a plastic bag...
There you go, see her?
She turns away, disappointed.
Hey, Maggie, where are you going? Hey, Maggie, wait up!
Clay hurries after her with the fish.
I think you forgot someone.
I don't want him.
You sure?
He nearly jumped out of the bag after you.
I think he likes you.
He's gonna die, just like Daddy. It's not fair.
Before you were born, Mommy's parents died. I cried a lot. They were nice. Anyway, Daddy told me not to be sad. That I was made of a piece of them, and that they'd always be part of me. As long as I lived, they lived. It's like this little guy. He's made up of a whole chain of fish, just like me and you. I'm made of a whole chain of family, where everyone lives forever in each other. So here, take them. Take them. Come on, take them. Take them.
Maggie smiles and accepts the bag.
Go show Mom.
She hurries off.
Mom! Mom! Look what I got!
Clay crosses a lawn toward his father's old high school. Inside, he wanders along a hallway. When Clay enters one of the classrooms, memories flood over him.
Class? Class, settle down, please.
Clay steps between the rows of desks and sees where Telegram carved the three friends' names in a desktop.
Hate those pedals.
Stopping at Bruce's desk, he reads the inscription, Brothers Forever.
If you hear when you Ralph, don't just Ralph on the ground, Ralph on back.
On Frank's desk, he sees Mary Lou and Frank in a heart with an arrow through it.
What a doofus.
Clay sits at the desk, reminiscing. Later, back at the carnival, Clay wanders around.
I'm gonna be the lucky pancake person. Yeah, I just need one more person. Hey, wait a minute. Now, there's a hungry-looking boy. Just right for the power pancake-eating contest.
The what?
The first person who finishes all the pancakes wins $100.
I don't think so.
Yeah, oh, come on. Come on. Give it a try. You can do it. No one's ever beat our champion, Dennis Beck.
A plump, middle-aged man doffs his hat and smiles at Clay.
Hey, give him a little encouragement there, maybe, huh? Hey, that's the spirit. Come on up here. Way to go. Way to go. Sit right down there and put that number 8 contestant bib right on him. Okay, well, looks like we're ready to roll.
Clay's family arrives at the contest.
Oh, my God, it's Clay.
All the contestants have to put all the fixings
on the
pancakes. Go ahead, contestants. Get all those fixings fixed up there on those pancakes. Get all your stuff all slurped up there. Get yourselves set and go!
Clay and the others dig into tall stacks of pancakes.
Pick your favorite pancake person and give them encouragement. Oh, it's looking good. The competition is looking good already. Keep eating, everybody. Get through those stacks. Oh, look at our champion go. Look at him go at it. Keep encouraging them, everybody. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Go, Clay, go!
Clay stuffs a whole pancake into his mouth.
Oh, good Lord, he's going to pass out. It's not like him to do this.
Competition build character. Eat, boy. Eat.
Dennis eats in a quick, orderly fashion, while Clay's plate is a mess.
You're slowing down, champ. You're slowing down.
Come on, boy. Show me what my son is made of. Eat.
As Clay redoubles his efforts, Virginia laughs hysterically. Clay jams pancakes into his mouth with his fingers. Dennis eats quickly with a knife and fork. Clay crams the last piece into his mouth.
We have a winner!
Richard grins at Clay proudly. Dennis gives up. Clay steps toward Dennis and taps him on the shoulder. Soon after, in a barn, Richard approaches Clay with a hot drink and snack.
Here you go, boy.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You call me your son.
Hey, what? I'm real proud of you, boy. You beat that blowhard bet. Your father, he never did like that SOB.
Did you ever tell my dad that you were proud of him?
Huh? Oh, no. Didn't have to. We always knew.
How? Was he supposed to guess?
What is this, the Spanish Inquisition or something?
You should have told him, Grandpa.
What?
Clay stares at him defiantly.
Look, boy. I work hard to take care of my family. Your father and that Aunt Celeste, all they want to do is have fun, you know, live out the dreams.
What's so bad about that?
I want to make sure he take care of his responsibilities. I'm scared he wouldn't be prepared for this world, a world that didn't want him, a world that didn't want me. Must admit, though, he did get some good grades. He kept mouthing off in class. And them misfit friends. He couldn't do nothing with his hands. Try my patience sometimes, especially when I get home, you know, tired from work. You know, then I...
Hit him?
No. I never laid a hand on him. No. We'll tell you one thing, though. He wasn't scared. He never would back down. One day, he walked past my raised hand into adulthood. Now he's gone forever.
When Clay sits down, Richard takes a seat on a hay bale facing him.
I guess it wasn't much of a successful father.
Well, maybe you were after all, Grandpa. Because when Dad got sick, he refused to be scared. He didn't back down.
Richard pulls a photo out of his wallet and gazes at it wistfully. It's Frank.
He's just too young to die.
You would have been proud of him, Grandpa. Very proud.
This was a picture of him in the graduation. He graduated with honors. So proud of him I could burst.
He hands the photo to Clay, who gazes at it thoughtfully.
But you never told him.
No. I'm telling you.
Clay gives his grandfather a big hug.
I love that boy so much.
Dad gave me a message for you, Grandpa. He made me promise to tell you. To tell you that he loved you.
Richard smiles. Back at the house, Clay grabs the wingtips.
Postcards in the garage. Take me to the postcard.
Sitting on his father's bed, he slips on the shoes. With a flash, Clay begins his journey. He arrives in the exact same room in 1962. He looks around, confused.
What the? I guess we're back.
Clay steps toward a mirror, then sees a postcard stuck behind its frame. He grabs the postcard and looks at it. It's the picture of the golf course.
Dad, I found it!
Yes!
It's addressed to Virginia.
25th, October 1944, Leyte Gulf. Dearest Jenny, after the war, marry me. Our life will be made in heaven. Love, Richie.
Clay grins triumphantly.
Yes!
He looks in a couple of bureau drawers. Then crosses the room toward the bedside table. Inside a drawer, he finds an empty envelope and puts the postcard inside it. Then he catches sight of the baseball cards.
Come on, Mick. Let's go home.
Clay Clay slips the Mickey Mantle card into the envelope with the postcard, licks the glue, and sticks the envelope to his chest. He begins his trip forward in time. He arrives, takes off the wingtips, and pulls up his shirt. The envelope is gone. Clay flops back on the bed, dejected.
Dad, I just can't find it.
But when he looks at the mirror across the bedroom, there's a postcard behind it. In his rush to grab it, he knocks it behind the bureau. He looks under the bureau, then picks it up and looks at it.
Yes!
Clay puts the wingtips in his knapsack. He sticks the postcard in another pocket.
Yeah.
Janice looks in.
Hi, honey. Can I come in?
Sure.
She enters the room and looks around.
Boy, Dad left a lot of memories in this room.
She touches a small trophy.
He won this on our first date.
How did you and Dad meet?
Oh, my. I haven't told that story in a long time. We were in the same psychology class. And I would say for that whole first semester, I never even noticed it. Then one day, about a week before final, I got this postcard in the mail. Your father had a thing for postcards. And it said, I'd like to go out with you. And it was signed, row 4, seat 17. So the next day, I took special notice of who was sitting there. And at the end of class, I gave him a piece of paper with my phone number on it. You know, at that moment, my life changed forever.
Janice sits on the bed beside Clay.
My life changed again the day the doctor told us he was sick. December the 20th. That was the date. And everybody was feeling good about Christmas and about their lives.
You don't have to tell.
No, I do. I do. Your father fought the cancer the way he fought everything. Like he couldn't think of not winning. But the radiation wasn't working and the chemo just turned his body into a battlefield. The pain was always there. So we found a doctor who put him on a special program of vitamins and herbs, acupuncture, visualization. And it worked for him. For us. So, Clay, please don't blame me.
He looks at her directly.
I don't.
He takes her hand in his.
2 days before he died, I got another postcard in the mail. It said, I'll wait for you. Take your time. Take a lifetime. And it was signed eternally, row 4, seat 17. You know, it's funny, I have no regrets whatsoever. Except for one. I really wish you'd had more time with him.
Clay hugs his mother tightly. In the morning, Richard helps Clay carry some bags to the Land Rover.
I had fun at the carnival.
You did? I didn't know you liked pancakes so much.
Yeah.
You're the champ, you know that.
Yeah.
Richard opens the tailgate.
Here we go.
Inside, Clay spots a box with some of Frank's things inside, including the baseball cards.
What a great going away present.
Nah, that's a coming home present, boy. Your father and your aunts left. They never came back. Don't you be a stranger too, boy.
Clay hugs his grandfather.
Hi.
I have a present for you, too.
Oh, yeah?
When Clay hands him the postcard, Richard is dumbfounded. He stares at it in amazement. His expression softens to a gentle smile, and he gazes off into the distance. Janice, Virginia, and Maggie approach.
I need you to eat your asparagus, okay? Not just the tips. And your collard greens. Has your mom ever made collard greens before? Never? Well, listen, you be good children and don't give your mother any trouble, okay? Okay?
I love you so much, Grandma.
You see?
I love you both. You are the dearest things in the world to me. Oh.
All right. Gotta get moving now, y'all.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, sweetie. Go.
Here you go, baby.
Here. Maggie and Clay step toward the Land Rover.
I feel like we're all starting over.
Everything's gonna be fine from now on, you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Janice hugs Richard and Virginia.
Bye.
Bye.
Janice smiles and steps toward the Land Rover.
Hey, boy. Don't you forget that promise now, huh?
Clay nods and smiles.
Take care of driving now, here.
Richard gives Virginia a hug as the family drives off. Soon after, Richard makes a phone call.
Hello, Celeste.
Celeste smiles at the sound of his voice.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Janice and the kids drive home.
Woo! Now that's rock and roll! Not that Stone Temple smashing dummies, crashing pumpkin stuff you listen to.
I'll make you a deal. You can listen to anything you want.
Anything?
Yeah, anything. If we can make a stop on the way home, no questions asked.
Hey, you got a deal.
Sometime later, they stop in front of the store where Frank and Clay got the magic wingtips. Clay heads for the house with the shoes in his knapsack. He enters.
Hello? Anyone home?
I'm closed.
It's the same woman who gave Frank the wingtips.
I guess you don't remember me.
Of course I do. You're the boy with the father. Now go away and close the beats behind you.
I came to return the shoes that you gave him.
Did your father wear them?
No, I wore them.
She approaches him, astonished.
So you just slipped into another man's shoes? Did they fit?
Yeah, they fit real well. But I don't need them anymore. I thought maybe you can give them to some other kid.
Look what came in yesterday.
They step into the next room, where a large painting of the postcard scene sits in a gilded frame. Clay stares at the painting in amazement. One of the golfers in the painting swings a club. Clay watches, smiling, as the golfer turns toward him. It's Frank.
I love you, Dad.
Frank smiles. As Clay gazes at him, his father mouths the words, "Thank you."
and dream away. Tomorrow is a brand new world, a brand new day.
This described version of In His Father's Shoes was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Linda Chang, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. Cast: Frank, Louis Gossett Jr. Richard, Louis Gossett Jr. Janice, Barbara Eve Harris. Celeste, Rachel Crawford. Virginia, Jeanette Sears. Clay, Robert Richard. Maggie, Shadia Simmons. Gypsy, Fiona Reed. Peter, Dylan Provence. Telegram, Dan Wary Smith. Bruce, Kevin Duhaney. Dennis Beck, Dan Petronievich. Lisa, AJ Cook. Casting by Tina Gerusi. Costume design, Suzette Daigle. Music composed by John Wellsman. Edited by Bill Goddard. Production designer, John Dondertman. Director of photography, Michael Story. Executive producers, Louis Gossett Jr., Hillard Elkins. Executive consultant, Dennis Considine. Produced by Dan Redler and Patrick Whitley. Written by Gary Gelt. Directed by Vic Sarin. With the participation of the Government of Canada, Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit Program. Filmed on location in Toronto, Ontario. Copyright 1997. This motion picture, Temple Street Productions Limited. This screenplay, Temple Street Productions Limited. In His Father's Shoes, a Dan Redler and Temple Street production, in association with Showtime Networks Incorporated and Hallmark Entertainment. Produced in association with City TV.